everybody. Welcome to everybody's favorite day of the week. It is day four with the man, Frank Scalish, who is sporting a fabulous t-shirt this morning.
That's right.
Dude, you're rocking it.
Dude, I'm all about color. I'm all about color. I might actually, I'm going to paint a color and call it
seven.
That's right.
All right. It is going to be Frank and myself this morning. Matt, he had some stuff that he had to get taken care of this morning, so he will not be joining us today. But Frank, we got a lot to talk about, man.
Yes, we do. And I'm excited, actually.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. So some cool stuff that we're going to get into with some fan engagement. Is that a good way of putting it?
I'm going to say yes.
All right. All right.
I'm going to agree with you.
But we're going to talk about that. And then I want to get into some stuff because, dude, that show that you did last Thursday, I talked about it on the evening shows that we did this week. It was the most downloaded show that we've done all year within a 3-day period. I mean, you knocked it out of the park. There were over 10,000 downloads just on that one particular show. And the premise of the show was listen to what the fish are telling you and react in a manner that obviously what the communication's going on and how you right. interpret what the fish are telling you. So having said that, I want to kind of reflect a little bit. And this is not what the fish are telling you, but what things off of the water are telling you. Because this week, Jacob Wheeler won another event. Dude, that's five MLF events, three this year. The guy is just absolutely dominating. I don't care what anybody says about him. Ken Duke has done the comparison. His stats compared to KVD's first 10 years compared to his 10 years. Yeah, there's a few things that are missing, a few big things missing.
Yeah.
But from a total performance standpoint, he's off the charts. So this is what I want to get into first. When you were on the Elite Series and Kevin was going through that stage, and a lot of the young listeners out there may not be aware of how dominant Kevin was for a period of time. And I've got a list right here that I want to go through. And this is from 2005, 2006, of which you were still on the Elite Series then, correct?
Yeah, I believe I was.
Okay. So here, let me reel off some finishes here. Fourth, fifth, tenth, first, first, second, fifth, sixth, third, and then he gets DQ'd at Santee Cooper, and we could talk about that later.
And not only did he get DQ'd at Santee, he still won the points that year.
That is
just
correct.
FYI. So he had a tournament where he threw up a fat zero.
Yeah.
And still won the points.
Yeah.
Which was astronomical. In fact, I made a bet with a friend of mine that he would still win the points. a little side action.
There you have it. All right. Then following that event at Lake Gunnersville, he finishes fourth. And then, oh my gosh, he has a terrible finish, 50th.
Yeah, I know.
All right?
It's like, what did you sleep in, dude?
And then he goes 26th, 22nd, 3rd, 3rd, 9th, 2nd, 11th, 13th, 3rd, 5th, 6th. I mean, good Lord, dude.
Yeah,
that's pretty dominating right there.
It was ridiculous.
So my question is, When that furious performance was taking place with KVD, what were you thinking, and what was that telling you? Or did you not even worry about it, and it was, I got to focus on what Frank needs to do?
Yeah, I mean, I never worried about what other guys were doing. I always focused on what I was catching and how I was catching it. I was happy for Kevin. You know, we became fast friends, and I was happy for him. Obviously, I would have been much happier for myself if I was having the terror of hell. But, you know, I never really worried about it because at the end of the day, I got to catch my fish my way, and it never bothered me. But I know factually, because I was obviously there, there were guys that were just tore up over it. I mean, they were like, you know,
Why? Why? Elaborate. Without giving names, we don't want
names.
Yeah,
I can't give names, but like they just felt like they had no chance. You know what I mean? And so they defeated themselves before they ever got on the water. It's like, well, I know I'm fishing for second, or I know I'm fishing for a top 10 or a top 20. And that's a very defeatist attitude when you're fishing, because if you set a goal to finish in 20th place in every tournament, you're probably not going to finish in the top 30 in every tournament. You know, conversely, if you set a goal to finish in 40th in every tournament, you're probably never going to sniff a check. That's just the way it goes. So I kind of got tunnel vision where I just didn't care. You know what I mean? It's not that I didn't care the history that was going on then, because everybody knew it was history and groundbreaking. Yeah. But I never worry about other people's fishing. I only worried about myself. There were guys out there that tore themselves up over this, and I was like, what do you care? You know what I mean? Just go catch fish. And they couldn't, they just couldn't get over it. You know, they just couldn't get over it.
I remember some of the performances that he had on Kentucky Lake. And that was kind of, you know, a little bit later after that, where the whole sexy shad thing was coming out.
Oh, yeah.
There were some, you know, the deep cranking really became, even though it was a thing back in the 70s and early 80s, it was kind of reborn with what Kevin was doing. But I can remember when I was out there on the Elite Series that some of the guys, they were letting what Kevin did affect not only how they were practicing, but what they were doing off the water.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
All right, and this is why I bring this up. And people out there, listen, look. I know we're talking apples and oranges here. Bass and MLF with KVD and Wheeler. But you know what? An apple and an orange, it's still fruit, right? It's still fruit. It's still competitive fishing at the highest level for that particular format.
Correct. That's
and
correct.
All right, and what Wheeler is doing is absolutely incredible. I don't care how much of a hater, somebody that likes MLF, it doesn't matter.
No,
you have to recognize greatness, and that's what he is doing right now. So the reason I bring this up, Frank, is how many of the weekend guys, how many of the guys and girls that are out there watching and listening now, they get defeated because maybe you have that team of Jones and Smith every time you go fish the weekend team trail, you're like, oh my gosh, Jones and Smith are here. Well, I'm just fishing for a second.
Yeah, and there, and I experienced that with a team partner of mine that I used to fish the elites with. You remember Paul Horosky?
Oh yeah.
When I stopped fishing Bassmasters, Paul had been out of it for a couple of years prior to that, and then and Paul and I are really good friends, and so he's like, hey, you want to be an alternate? Blah blah blah. So I'm like, yeah, sure, man, whatever. You know, I'm not really doing tournaments locally, but if you need an alternate, I'm in. So we fished several tournaments together, and truth be told, they were all in Paul's neck of the woods. So he did a lot more of the homework than I did. I only got to pre-fish for a couple of them. And, you know, I think we won two or three of them, took a second, took a third, and then everybody started having a conniption fit, so I just quit going there. It wasn't because of me. You got to understand, it wasn't because of me. It was our team, and Paul's a fantastic fisherman.
Yeah.
I heard it firsthand, all the griping, and you know, whatever, man, it's a tournament. Gosh, you know, you could stumble and fall at any given moment, or you could rise to fame at any given moment. You know, that's just tournament fishing. It's always up and down, up and down. So when you get a guy like Van Dam, or you get a guy like Wheeler, that when they stumble, they're still stumbling in the top echelon. You know what I mean? They don't fall to the ground. You know, they fall a little bit, and that's the way it goes. Those are the best of the best. I mean, and you can't help it. There's the best of the best in every sport, like it or hate it. I can give you can go LeBron James, best basketball player ever to play the game. You know what I mean? You could take that in any sport on any level. And so it just happens. So why would you get crazy over it and not do your thing?
Yeah. Is it a challenge? And do you think that is a mistake that guys that are really guys and girls that are really good team anglers and really good teams, the better ones don't worry about what everybody else is doing. They are totally focused on the task at hand with them.
Right.
And the mistakes that are made by some teams, though, they're listening, but they're listening to the wrong thing, right, Frank?
Yeah, you can't copy somebody's winning strategy in a sense. Because look, I can tell you guys, hey, I'm catching them on, I'm offshore and I'm catching them on crankbaits, and then everybody's going to tie on crankbaits and run offshore. But what I didn't tell you, okay, mm-hmm. was that I was fishing, you know, 18 feet deep, isolated offshore stuff that's not connected to anything. And then you don't have the whole puzzle piece.
Right.
So you try to change your game plan to emulate the guy doing good all the time.
Yeah.
And you go and you get led astray. Where if you would have just fished the way you were catching fish, you probably would have fared better in the event. You know, like there was tournaments where, you know, Kevin is, you know, I've never seen any human being in my life fish as fast as him and cast more accurately. He'll go down a bank and he doesn't even change his boat position. He just motors and he puts his square bill or whatever he's throwing right where it needs to be. And he just keeps on keeping on. Well, I tried to fish that way one time. I couldn't even come close. I have to position my boat for the most optimum cast. I'm not a super fast fisherman. I don't fish slow,
yeah.
but I'm not a super fast fisherman. I have to position my boat to make the perfect cast. And then I'm okay. But I tried to do his style and cover water and cut. Dude, I missed everything. You know, the main little tiny clues I didn't pick up on because I was blowing by so much stuff. So, no, you don't have to copy them, okay, because they're their own person.
Yeah.
You know, the perfect example was when Wheeler was smashing him on a bladed jig in that one tournament, and he beat him by 50 pounds, and then everybody moved in on his water, and he and Wheeler still caught the big ones and nobody else did.
Yeah.
So he obviously had something dialed in, and so these guys tried to go and get in and encroach on him, and then he just moved and went somewhere else and duplicated it.
Yeah.
Because he was so dialed in, you see. So if you when you pay attention to the wrong stuff, you're led astray. You're
yeah.
led way astray.
Hey, man, I know you're a genius, but I just got a comment on the instant feedback, not on the YouTube comments, from Andy. And Andy is right, because I look back. I have the only picture in existence of when Mike Iaconelli dove into the lake in 2006 at Table Rock to get his line when he was in a battle for what? Angler of the Year. Ike actually won Angler of the Year. Do you remember when he dove in the water at Table Rock and that became a big deal?
I do not.
Yeah, he was hooked up and the line broke and he actually dove in the water. Now, there's video of it, but I was the only camera boat that was on that when that event took place on Table Rock back in 2006. So Kevin did not win Angler of the Year. I think it was either the year before or year after. I don't know.
My bad.
But. The fact of the matter is, I just reeled off about, 20, 25 places where the dude was in the top 10 85% of the time.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you this, all right? Obviously, back in the early 2000s, the influence and the exposure that anglers have today that was different when Kevin went on that just amazing run back in 2005, 2006, is the value of what Wheeler is doing today greater than the marketability and value that Kevin had almost, 18, 19 years ago, back in 05, 06? In other words,
yeah,
is the marketability of anglers, because of social media and everything else, just totally been blown out of the water compared to what Kevin had?
Well, here, when Kevin did all the stuff that Kevin did.
Yeah.
You had to wait till the articles came out. So you didn't get that instantaneous gratification like you have today with social media. It's the fast food mentality.
Yeah.
You pull up to the drive-through and you get it immediately. You know what I mean? That's where the difference is today. It's a huge difference. Back then, media exposure in the form of newspaper, magazine, radio, and television was king. Okay. Today, yeah. Social media is king. I mean, yeah. And that's just the truth. It's immediate, it's instantaneous, and the better a person is at marketing and promoting and social media savvy, the more they can capitalize on it. I think it's harder today, but it's easier today. Back in the day, we had to fight and scratch and claw for all the exposure we got. And you have to realize something. There's only so much editorial in a magazine. There's only so much editorial in a newspaper.
Yeah.
And there's only so many TV spots available.
Yeah.
So there was much fewer of it. And Kevin monopolized all of it back in the day. Today with social media, there's tons of it. And all these anglers can get a lot of publicity at the same time. And that's not how it was back in the day. So I think it was harder to get that kind of exposure back in the day. The value of it, they're equally valuable, because yeah. anytime your cost per thousands goes down, your value goes up to an advertiser sponsor.
Yeah. Hey, Brian wants to know on the YouTube comments if there were any other bass content on XM radio other than BTL back in the day. And the answer is no. That was way before the Sirius/XM merger or Sirius buying XM took place. It was XM, right. And they were the only ones really that had any type of outdoor content on either one of the satellite networks. And then when the merger happened, that's when we went the digital route, because they wanted us. I don't know if I ever told you this, Frank. They wanted $20,000 from us. XM was paying us, and Sirius said, no, you got to pay us 20 grand if you want to keep this going.
Okay, sounds like a great deal.
That's when I cut the cord, and Matt and I decided to go with this whole new digital route. Not YouTube. I was an idiot for not doing the YouTube thing, but it is what it is. But I think it's very important that as we get older and the next generation of people, boys and girls that are fishing this game, it's not being old school. It's not anything like that. It's understanding the importance and the achievement that the initials KVD has really conquered in this industry, not just on the water, but off the water too. It's right. Kind of like when you and I mean, we're kind of the same age, Frank. It's when we were younger, and who did we admire? And we had very little information. We had the outdoor block on TNN, right. And we had Bassmaster magazine, and that was pretty much it. But Hank Parker, you know, Larry Nixon, Rick Klun, we embraced what those guys were doing. And just my opinion, I don't think the younger anglers of today really embrace the seasoned veteran anglers like we did when we were younger. I think it's all about the now. And I think there's something lost there.
Well, it is about the now. It's social media. That's how social media works. It's what have you done for me lately? It's not, you know, if I don't post enough, I lose followers. When I post, I gain followers. So yeah. It's all instantaneous. And so, you know, consequently, what happens is you're always on the move. You can't be stagnant. Back in the day, heroes were made. Like, people don't understand when Bassmasters originated, okay? The Classic made the heroes. The Bassmaster Classic made the heroes, all right? With Bob Cobb, you know, and they're catching bass. You know what I mean? You know the drill. And so that made the heroes. And so with the formats of today, as the tournament game expanded and there became more offshoots of the tournament game, things get, I don't want to say not as important, but they get saturated. Okay. So now social media becomes a major player, because now guys can you know, put their personalities forward. I mean, look at Iaconelli was a crazy animal when he fished, hooping and howling and break dancing and all that nonsense. And I know Mike Good. Mike's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And, but he niched himself. He made himself so different, but did he make himself different or did he just show himself? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think he had the opportunity to say, look, I'm not sugarcoating any of this. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to be who I want. You like it or you don't. And he separated himself from the pack marketing wise that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody knows every tantrum he did. Everybody knows, you know, jumping in the lake and stuff like that. So it's just a different form of marketing. But back then, we had time to think about it. Okay. We had time. We planned outdoor writing events. We, you know, tried to get on television. We tried to get in the magazines and newspapers and radio shows that were out there. But it wasn't instantaneous like it is today.
Yeah.
You know, like Frankie calls me the other day. He goes, Wheeler's in 10th place. And, you know, he's close. He's moving in. Holy crud. He just caught a 4.5. He's up to third place. You know what I mean? And I'm like, he's probably going to win the thing. He's catching smallmouths. You have more of an opportunity on the smallmouth game to catch a bunch in a row when they're schooled up as you do shallow fishing for largemouth, because you have to cover tons of water. So law of averages. Pull up on one smallmouth spot, there's 15 bass there, you're probably going to catch 10 of them. Mm-hmm. You follow me? You go largemouth fishing, how many acres of water do you got to catch to put your bait in front of 15? So, you know, but we saw it all unfold as it was going down. And that's the difference today. And actually, I like it today because you actually see the guys do what they do. And that's what I missed. When the Bassmasters was only on TV, because in the beginning days, all they focused on was the stinking weigh-in. And it's like, well, you know, what did he do to come from 10th to third? What did he do to come from 14th to first? You know, we never saw that, but today we get to see it all. So these guys are building really good marketing banks for themselves. And I think it's easier to do that today. I really do.
Bobby has a really good question, and I want your thoughts. Has social media watered down the message?
It depends what I'm going to get my brains kicked in for this.
Just be honest.
I'm going to be brutally honest. There's a lot of garbage on social media today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of garbage out there because it's easy to get on it. It's easy to do it. Day four, okay, I made a promise that I would never go garbage, that it would always be truthful and honest. That's why day four is so important to me, because I tell you guys the reality. I don't make stuff up. I don't really care. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm beyond the tournament game. It's my time to teach. Doesn't make me smarter than anybody else. It's just the format that I want. Okay. Same thing with my videos. I'm not out there making fish porn. I can put together videos where all I'm catching are 4 and 5 pounders. But at the end of the day, what am I going to teach you other than go look at me, hold this big slob up? You follow me? So everything I do has an instructional component behind it. Okay. That's just how I'm marketing it. That's just what I want. I don't want to go out and make these grandiose videos. And then what? I'm just another dude catching fish on social media. And then where am I at? Yeah. So I believe it's saturated. I mean, there's a dude, my kid, my youngest is on YouTube all dang day watching everybody fishing on the social media stuff, that and baseball. And I'm like, dude, put on my show. watch mine, man. You know what I mean?
And
he goes, I already watched it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
But you know, so that's the I don't want to say it's a problem because it's not a problem. It's a free enterprise, free marketplace.
Yeah.
But it is saturated, and you guys got to look and pick and choose because there's a lot of garbage out there. Like I see stuff on. I tell my kid, why are you even watching that?
Yeah.
What are you learning from that? You're learning nothing. You know what I mean? You're not gaining anything. Oh, but they're funny. Oh, okay. Funny's good. You know, funny's good.
Okay. All right. I want to switch gears. And then once again, I'm going to bring it back to what the communication, what's being said off the water.
All right.
And having that help. A lot of the weekend guys and girls out there that fish tournaments locally or regionally. All right, let me ask you this. Obviously, you're a Cleveland Browns fan, right? Stupid question.
True and true.
When you're watching the Browns play, let's say they're playing the Jets. The Jets are horrible, okay? It's the third quarter. Browns are up 42-7.
Yeah, but you got to understand something, dude.
What? I know they're the Browns, right?
You're talking about, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we lose that game.
Come on, Frank. All right. I'm talking about they're decent now, all right?
No, they're fantastic now, and you watch and see what happens now.
42-7 with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. You still watching that game as a fan, even though it's a blowout?
Yeah, I am.
Why is that?
Because I like the Browns.
Okay.
I like to see people win that I like.
All right. Now let me flip that over to what has recently been taking place on Major League Fishing. Obviously, there are people out there that are fans of anglers, both on the bass side and the MLF side. I'm going to use MLF first, and then I'm going to give a bass example too. But let's say, you know, Wheeler's up by 40 pounds, and he's in – you know, an hour left in the second quarter. The typical fan, what's he or she doing? They're probably watching for a few minutes and then they're like, oh, well, it's a blowout here. It's done. It's over. Unless.
No, I'm watching the whole thing because I'm going, beat him by 60.
Because you're a fan. All right. Not necessarily a Jacob Wheeler fan. I mean, you could be, but you want to see how that thing is going to conclude.
Absolutely.
All right, now let's flip it over to the bass side. And they've really made a push here in recent years on Bass Track. And you're watching Bass Track, even though it's not official or anything like that. But when you have a situation where the fans can watch Bass Track or look at Bass Track, and they see that somebody out there in a five-fish event has a 15-pound lead, they're probably not watching that much. In other words, they either are a true fan like you are for the Browns because they want to see Gerald Swindle, you know, crush it and finally win his first blue trophy, or they were wanting to watch, you know, Chris Zaldane or whoever it is, Drew Cook, and pick up on anything that he does for that remaining 3 hours or whatever. But you kind of answered it yourself by saying, hey, look, yeah, I'm a Browns fan. I'm still going to watch.
Right.
For a number of reasons. There have been many arguments, premises stated that because there are blowouts that people stop watching. In my opinion, when you look at the masses, I would say yes, they do stop watching because mentally people have an enormous amount of options to do on their discretionary time.
Oh, 100%. But okay. You know what the thing is, though, is that they may not stop watching, but they may not be as glued to it.
Right.
You know, they'll have it on in the background while they're doing something else just to hear the weights and who's gaining on who and who's doing what.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, blowouts are a weird thing. My wife's a Notre Dame fan. I went to Ohio State. She went to Notre Dame. I'm not a fan. I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I watch it because she watches it. But when Notre Dame's blowing a team out, I'm like, what else do we got to see here? You know what I mean? Can we go to the Ohio State game and see? And then you flip over to Ohio State game and they're blowing them out. And it's like, all right, I'm done with football. I'm done with college ball today. You know what I mean? So I get that pretense, but I'm not a diehard fan of college football. I like football, so I watch college football.
I get that's
the difference. If I was a diehard fan, I would watch the game to the beginning to the end, just like I do the Browns, even when they're getting their brains spanked out. I still watch it, okay, mm-hmm. because I want to see which players that I'm going to go, he's gone. You know what I mean? This guy has potential. So I have more of interaction with that team because I'm a fan. Same thing with bass fishing.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of the sport, okay, you're going to watch it. If you're a fan of the guy, you're not going to shut it off because now you want to see everything this dude does.
Agreed. All right. Now, this is a fascinating thing that I wish could happen, but I think it's virtually impossible. And what
I'm
about to
say, I'll be right down there.
All right, maybe you have an answer for it, Frank. You are a genius.
Oh God!
All right. Now I think it would be very, very cool to see back in the heyday if you were able to take a sample size of say 10,000 people and see how many of those 10,000 bass fishing fans actually watched the entire. Very important, the entire TNN outdoor block on Sunday evenings out of those 10,000 people back then, and make a comparison to 10,000 people that are supposedly watching the live coverage that takes place on the internet now, to see what percentage watch the entire TNN block. Because, dude, I'm telling you right now, I watched all four shows on that TNN outdoor block compared to people that watch, say, 4 hours of live fishing on a weekly basis during tournament mm-hmm. weeks. Would that not be cool to see? Because my feeling is you're going to have more people out of that 10,000 pool that watch the TNN outdoor block than they did watching 4 hours of live coverage.
Well,
Do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree with you, Mark, but that's all there was back then.
I know, but
so they were captive. It was a captive audience.
That is a great point, Frank, because the repetitiveness of what is available now from a live perspective, it gets pretty repetitive. All right.
But there's so many platforms now on social media, and there's so much of it. You know, but I would tell you straight up that back in the day when all you had was a television channel and you had your four little blocks of outdoors, whether it was hunting or fishing, if you were hunting and into hunting and fishing, you were glued to that block because you couldn't see it again until next week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And back then you couldn't even record them. So you miss it. Today, if you miss it, you just watch it later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no urgency. The urgency is gone.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a fan today and you're watching this stuff live and you're glued to it, you're a fan, dude.
Yeah,
there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you're a fan. You know, I think the social media platform is great. I call it good and evil. You know what I mean? It's good and evil. There's really good content out there, and there's really crappy content out there. You guys, as somebody watching the content, you could chafe through the mess. I mean, you could figure it out. You're not an ignorant audience. You can figure it out, you know? So the good stuff always rises to the top. That's just the way it goes in any business, in any form of life.
All right. So now where I'm going with this, eventually I'm almost.
Because I said to the top.
I'm almost there, Frank. I'm almost over the screen here.
I'm pushing you.
Now listen, from a fan perspective, help us fans, and I'm including myself here because, I'm a fan and, I fish, but I don't fish that many tournaments anymore. It's a rarity, except the old man tournament every now and then that we get involved with. But what advice can you give people for actually applying, and hear me out on this, applying so much saturation and information that people have available for them today. How can they really concentrate and pinpoint and not trying to physically duplicate what they're seeing? In other words, they're trying to do something that is really not in their game, or it's not part of the characteristics of the body of water that they're trying to fish. In other words, they see something, they go out, they try to repeat it, but the circumstances and the conditions are totally different, and they end up failing.
But I think you're saying a couple different things, I think.
Okay.
If you're a student of the game, let's not say to the tournament game, let's just say fishing. You want to be a better fisherman.
Okay.
It's very important to watch people that have the experience, that are telling you the truth, okay, and gaining that knowledge. Now, if I talked about Carolina rigging in the middle of the winter, obviously it's not applicable. It's
right.
Winter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your lake makeup might be different than another lake makeup, but there's always nuances to every lake. And there's always, when we talk about how to catch a fish or pay attention to the fish or whatever we talk about, okay, it's always going to be applicable on your lake at some given time. And if it's not going to be, if I'm talking about a technique that's not going to be, okay, mm-hmm. I say this is for a grass lake only, or this is for a pure structure fishing lake. That's how you decipher through what's going on. If you're taking information that somebody's telling you on fishing and you're applying it in all the wrong conditions, then you're not paying attention to what they're telling you. I mean, that's as easy as I can put it.
All right. So basically, they're listening, but they're not listening to the right information.
Well, right. They're not applying it in the right condition. And that's not the person on social media telling you how to flick shake in the grass. That's
right.
That's the guy who goes, I'm going to go do that, and there's no grass.
See,
you know what I mean? And I dumbed it way down, but yes.
No, I get it. And the cool thing about what you do and what you have done in the little time that you've been on BTL is the emails that you and I get about success that has taken place, because
fantastic.
I think the relevancy and the ease of instruction in teaching these people the technique, there is no need to try and tweak this and tweak that and get seven different influencers on what you need to do when you have a viable resource like Frank. In other words, I'm taking it totally from what you talked about last week and listening to what the fish are saying. Listen to the right stuff that is off the water
That's
going to help you when you get to the lake.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and that's all the videos I do are predicated on that theory.
Yeah.
They're all instructional videos. You will take away something new and different from every video you watch. And sometimes if you watch them more than once, you'll really figure it out, because there's a lot of things we talk about on the show. Cause a lot of times what I'll do is I'll watch the show. My wife wants to watch them when, you know, later on in the evening when we're done, with this stuff. So she'll want to watch it. So I'll sit down and watch it with her, and I'll listen to it, and I'll go, you know, I'll sit there and go, oh, I could have articulated that in a better way.
Right.
I could have made that a little more understandable by saying it like this. So I pick up on clues too, by watching it after the fact, and to help me make it more understandable, to help reach people that, like, I take a lot of things for granted. Like if I'm with my buddies and I'm telling them something about fishing, I take a million things for granted that they just know, or I think they just know. So I leave something out.
Yeah.
Not intentional, but just figuring that they know the fish are suspended, you know, if they're hitting it on the drop.
Yeah.
And so I don't even say it. I say, oh, yeah, you know, I would hop it one time. If I didn't get the bit, I'd bite, I'd pull it out and pitch it back in. You know what I mean? And I would be like, oh, they know they're hitting it on the way down, but they don't know that. And I didn't say it because I assumed something. So, So what I do is I try to keep all my instructional stuff. I try to go very chronologically, and the only way I can get better at articulating certain techniques and certain points is to watch it after the fact. Same thing with the videos. I watch all the raw footage, and then I watch the edited versions, and then, you know, we tweak it down from there. Or in the case of one show I did, I went out and reshot it.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I don't like the way I did the information part of it. It's, I didn't say this and I didn't say that. And that's very important. We're going to go back and reshoot the video. So we went back and reshot the video.
All right, man. Point taken. And hopefully that will help a lot of the fans out there. If you did not catch the show from last week, definitely need to go back and listen to that. And then today we kind of touched on some stuff about listening to the right stuff when you're off the water to make you a better angler. All right, you know what I know? I know this about Frank Scalish. Your favorite color is 7. That's what I know.
7, baby. So speaking about 7.
Yes.
I have 4 lures.
No relation.
I gotta tell you guys something. A long time ago, myself and another person were talking about making a mini Super Spook Junior type of bait. And we talked about it quite a while ago. And I said, if you make it, make sure it's as fat as a Super Spook Junior. So it moves water, but it can be shorter, more subtle, blah, blah, blah. And never thought much about it after that because we never really pursued it hard. COVID hit and we just, you know, when COVID hit, everything kind of just went.
Whoosh. Yeah.
So lo and behold, they came out with this little mini Super Spook Junior called Aboyo.
Hey, okay. Is this even out yet? Is this out yet?
Yeah, it just got out. Okay, that's why on. I have them, actually. I actually picked them up on LureNet.
Hang on, I'm going to blow it up.
There
we go.
Okay. Of course, it's in my favorite color on earth, Florida baby bass. But it's 3 inches long. And here, I have a Super Spook Junior for comparison. It's 3 inches long. It's almost as fat as the Super Spook Junior. This bait weighs 3/8 of an ounce. It casts like a bullet. Okay. Now here's the cool thing about it. The colors in this bait are crazy good colors. All right. Here's a saltwater version. This is called Sweet Tooth. Okay. I really like that color a lot. That's very shaddy looking to me.
That's cool.
And don't forget, the bass are going to see it upside down.
Right.
So when it rolls, when they walk it, they get this flash of silver because of the mirror inside and because of the silver on the back. The silver on the back shines through from the bottom, plus the mirror flash. Okay. And you got that little bit of purpley pink pearls in there.
Okay.
Very cool color. Okay. Then they got another color called Perch Ring. All right, which has the yellow head, but the orange chin. It also has a little mirror in the back. It's got a nice gray pearl with metal flake back on it. Now, keep in mind, these baits, they're 3 inches long, but they're, let me see. Yeah, there we go. They're 3 inches long, but they're fat. Okay, so they'll walk really good. They have a ton of colors in them. This is Oaky Shad, White Belly, mirror inside, blue and pink pearl on the back, on the sides, and a chartreuse back. Okay, those are just a couple of the colors. I think there's like 13 colors in the thing.
Okay,
so here's what I want to do because I personally have not fished this lure yet. Okay.
Okay.
I have not. I just literally got them 2 days ago. And when I got them, I was nervous because I'm like, it better not be too thin. If it's too thin, it's not going to. Well, when I got them, I was pleasantly surprised because it's a little fatter bodied short plug. So here's what I want to do because I have never fished it yet. So I am going to fish this thing because I think it has the perfect application for a few situations that I've encountered. Okay. So here's what I want to do. Now, you have to understand something. This is coming from me and me alone, okay? I want to do – God, am I going to get in trouble? I want to do a photo contest with this lure, okay?
Okay.
And here's the premise.
What's the whiffum? What's the whiffum?
What the heck is a whiffum?
What's in it for me, man? What's in it for me? What, the whiffum.
You? What's in it for you?
No, I'm talking about the fans.
Well, what's in it for the fans
is
you are going to win, because this is going to be a contest, so you're going to win. You're going to win 3 boyos, okay? You're going to win 6 of my favorite crankbaits in my favorite colors.
Wow.
And you're going to get a hand-painted bait by me, a personal hand-painted bait painted by me, okay? I could sign the bait for you or not sign the bait for you. When you win, we will discuss what you need, okay, for that particular part of this puzzle. Now, here's the rule. There's a rule. There's always a rule, guys. There's a rule.
Okay.
One photo per person.
That's okay? It.
That's it. You have to DM me on my Instagram and follow me, okay, so I can get your DM. And then your photo, I want it to be lifestyle-ish, so it has to be creative or funny, okay? And... And because I have a small sense of humor.
Okay.
Sometimes people don't understand it, but it's in there. And now here's the important part. This contest will start today, giving you time to get on LureNet and pick up one of these things, or 2 of them, or 12 of them. I don't care how many you buy.
Okay.
And it will go to September 9th. So your photos have to be in by September 9th, Thursday, September 9th.
All right.
And then the following Thursday, I'll announce who won it. Okay.
All right. So just to be crystal clear on this, the photos, you're looking for creativeness, all right? They could be fish catches. They could be something else.
Yes, just it has to be focused around
the bait,
the super spook boyo. Okay, I have not fished it. I will also take some pictures and maybe a video, and then the day that I announce the winner, I will show on Bass Talk Live some of my experiences with this thing. Okay. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I haven't thrown it yet. All right. But I like it. And so I want to experiment with it. But since I want to be fair, I'm going to do this with you guys. Okay. I'm going to fish it. I'm going to experiment with it. And we're just going to make a contest out of it. Now, there's only going to be one winner, because I'm not going to hand paint crankbaits for 500 people. So there's only going to be one winner.
Hey, I think they're more intrigued about the 6 crankbaits that they're going to get.
They will be,
dude,
my personal favorites.
That's like gold.
Well, and 3 boyos. Don't forget, you're going to get 3 boyos. And I'm also, those boyos are also going to be my 3 favorite colors. And if people go, well, how could they be your favorite color if you haven't fished them yet? Because I can tell which ones are going to be smoking hot.
Okay? Well, and you'll get a chance to fish it before September 9th, too.
100%, dude. Yeah, I'm going to wear the paint off of these things. So that's what it is. From today, your photos have to be in by the 9th. The show after the 9th, I'll announce the winner. Mm-hmm. I will contact you personally and discuss if you want an autograph on the hand-painted crankbait, or if you're going to be smart and actually fish it.
Do you want me to help you out on this?
And, yeah,
and
would
I'm not
you
trying
help
to over. Well, the thing about it is you do have some people out there like myself that do not have an Instagram account. If they do not have an Instagram account, can they still submit an email photo to me and then I can forward it on to you? How about that?
100%.
So
yes.
If you do not have an Instagram account, it's okay.
Yes.
Shoot me an email with the photo attached, mark@basszone.com. That's my email. And I will forward any photos that I receive via email to Frank and he will throw them into the pool of photographs.
Uh-oh. My phone's buzzing. I could be in trouble right now.
Come on, Frank.
We're just going to see. We're just going to take a peek, guys. Okay, no, that is my other son. He's watching BTL with his dog Manny right now in North Carolina.
Whew. All right.
So, yeah, so this is not a sanctioned contest. This is a personal contest.
Yeah. You want to engage the fans with a brand new bait while you're engaging for the first time.
In the same bait, and I want to make it fun. I just want to have fun with some of this stuff, you know. Mm. It doesn't all have to be work, guys. It's fun stuff, man.
So what's the bait sound like?
It's just – can you hear that?
Yeah.
It's got a one rattle in it. It's beautiful sounding bait. It's good and heavy. It's like a 3/8 ounce, maybe a little bit tiny bit heavier. So it should cast really good. Okay.
So
it comes with really good hooks on it, which I'm very happy about that it has good hooks on it.
Okay.
Okay. I might. You hear the thunder?
I did. I heard that.
Oh yeah, we're having a massive. Anyway, I might put feathers on the back of this one. I might throw it like it is. I don't know.
What about the crane swivel?
I definitely am going to put the crane swivel on it, but I'm going to go to a little bit smaller crane swivel because I don't want it to get in the way of the action of the bait. I have not thrown this bait yet, so I have to experiment to see what size swivel I need, what's going to give me the best range of motion, and that sort of thing. It comes with a split ring on it, too, so that's good.
Okay. Crane swivel. Love it, man.
Yeah.
The crane swivel purchasing across the country has skyrocketed because of the genius here.
Well, you know what's crazy? I buy several sizes, but I buy them in 50 packs.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I just buy them in 50 packs because I use them for, you know, Carolina rigging and my walking baits and stuff like that. So, you know, I put them on my front of my spoons, my CC spoons, same thing, split ring, crane swivel. Helps the spoon move better for more freely.
Yeah.
Crush them on it. Crush them on it. So.
Well, it's a cool way. It's pretty creative, actually, what you're doing, Frank. It's a cool way for you to explore the opportunities with the bait. But at the same time, people out there are going to explore at the same time. And then you're giving away. I still can't believe you're giving away six crankbaits, your favorite six crankbaits. Jeez.
Yeah, well, yeah. And three boyos and a hand-painted bait. Custom hand-painted from me.
That's Frank, folks. That's not Pradco or any lure net or whatever. That is Frank Scalish doing that.
Yeah, this is.
Don't get the wrong ideas about that. Jeez.
Yeah, this is something from me. You know what? I want to make it fun because here, look, we're going to have guys across the United States fishing this thing. So then I'm actually going to get data back from it. You follow me?
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to learn more about how guys are, where they're throwing it, how they're throwing it. Dude, you could throw it in a pond. You could throw it in a creek. I don't care where you throw it. I don't care, you know, what you catch on it. I just want some cool pictures and we'll go from there. I mean, this is just a fun contest. August 12th, September 9th, email Mark the photo, DM me the photo. If you DM me, follow me, Scalish_fishing. And we're going to make this fun. And if it works out good, hell, I might do a lot of these. I don't know. I don't want to run it myself out of tackle.
Jeez,
but,
it's out of the pocket of Frank, the man. Mm. All right. Man, I'm a little, I wouldn't call it nervous. I'm a little, I don't know, it's just kind of a different vibe on the first day of school.
Oh,
it's just kind of weird, man.
It's your first day of school.
First day of school.
Get your lunchbox.
Yeah, got all the certification and all that done, but I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be interesting.
New group of kids, or you got
new group?
Run
all
the
new.
Same?
No, oh, good. No, all new group. All new group. And I don't know if you watched some of the evening shows, but yeah, man, the largest freshman class that we've had in the school's history coming in this week, and I think, and I'm hopeful that we're going to have a fishing team this year. I'm just going to help them out. I'm not going to coach it or anything like that. But there was a high school fishing team around 3 years ago, and then there was one the year before that, and then it's been done. And now I think that there's a parent that wants to get involved with some of the younger kids that were coming in. And I've, you know, over the past 3-4 years when they did have it, I gave them some rods and reels and,
cool,
and bait and stuff. So hopefully they'll get that cranked up and get it going.
Yeah, you got to be careful, dude. You got a lot going on.
No,
that's
part of the reason why they asked me to get involved with it. I was like, look, I just don't have the time, but I'll be more than happy to give you guys some rods and reels and soft plastics and, you know, whatever I can do to help out. Yeah, I'll do that. But
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
We'll see. It's good to get the kids into it, and some of the parents definitely going to get involved with that. So we'll see what happens.
It's a cool thing. They never had this stuff when I was growing up, so I had to always cut school to go fishing.
That's funny. Hey, one of the things I have two bass related things in my classroom. Okay. One is a photo of KVD that I took when he won at Grand Lake, and I don't remember what year it was, 08, maybe 07, something like that. And it was when he was giving his boat away one of the times after the season was over, and he's holding up the old blue trophy that says "Win my boat," and this thing is massive. It's like 6 feet by 3 feet, and it's funny because kids always look at that and they go, "Who is that?
Well,
what's that guy doing? Who is that?"
Those kids weren't even born yet, dude.
And then I have the old school displays where they're in a roll in the bottom, and then you got to pull them up.
Okay.
Do you remember those? They're little displays. Well, you pull up the thing, and it's Gerald Swindle back in the yellow Toyota days.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
long time ago, and it's got Gerald Swindle on there. So yeah, I have those two things in there, and we talk a little bit about, or at least we did last year. I don't know what I'll talk about this year, depending on the group. But we talked a little bit of fishing and the whole media and finances and all kinds of other things that I'm trying to teach these kids.
Right. I mean, you can incorporate a lot of learning through this industry, business sense, ethics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of roads you can go down. Yeah. Fishing has a lot of legs to it. I love this sport. Every time I catch a fish is as exciting as the first time I ever caught one. I just absolutely love it. I mean, it's goofy. It's a strange addiction.
Hey, somebody wanted to know if I gave homework on the first day of school. The answer is no.
Oh, good for you, man.
Yeah, homework doesn't start till Monday. I give them a couple of days to get acclimated. And
you're
this year's
going to
be different because we're going to be doing a lot more live stuff and doing events live. And yeah,
you're going to give them a Super Spook Boyo coloring contest?
Yeah.
Make your own colors.
I might. I don't know. I don't know what kids I'm going to have in there, but we'll see.
That's true.
But man,
that's
I'm telling
true.
You, it's. I've done it totally in reverse, Frank. You know, there's a lot of young people out there over the years that have got involved with teaching and education, and they're like, "Wait a minute, I'm not making any money. I got to go do something else," and they get out.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And that's what happens.
But, you know, good teachers are a blessing.
Yeah.
Teaching our students actually, you know, math and science and history and English is fantastic. Education, you can never be too educated. You can never be overeducated.
Yeah.
Nobody could ever take that away from you once you become educated. Nobody could take that away from you. They can't take that away from you, and they can't take your integrity away from you. And so, you know.
They can take your money away from you, though.
Oh, they everybody does. Don't worry about that. Everybody takes that.
Hey, a little sub note here. I was so hacked off. All right. I filed my taxes back in, what was it, March?
All right. You say so.
I just got a message on the IRS
instant
app portal,
feedback.
Whatever. We are glad to inform you, Mr. Jeffries, that your refund of X amount of dollars will be here on August 16th. Now, do you think they paid me interest?
Oh,
yes,
dude,
or no?
No. Dude, don't even get me started. Just let's not go down this road. There's a few things that when Mark opens the show and says, and we'll talk about anything we feel like whenever we want.
Yeah.
There's a few things that I will never start talking about on this show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what they are, but you will never hear me talk about them. So you
will. It's all good, man. It's just, you know, it is what it is. By gosh, they want their money. But when they owe you money, they just kind of took their sweet little time there.
So. Yeah, that's just how it works.
It's all good. It's
so
all good.
I just, you guys, you got to get amped up about Uncle Frank's fishing contest here.
Yeah.
I want good photos, clean, make them clean. I don't know who's going to see them, so don't be filthy. Make them good photos. And Super Spook Boyle, Scalish underscore fishing and or Bass Zone email.
Yeah, mark@basszone.com. Send it to me. Speaking of education, folks, there are very few places that you are going to get more education in the game than right here on everybody's favorite day. I'm talking about Thursday. And Frank, you know what I'm excited about? Dude, we're getting close. I know it's still a billion degrees outside, but we are working our way to that fall transition. And dude, you got to get it on deck. Some fall transition stuff.
Oh, because we're gonna do that.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready for it because the winter is one of my favorite times of the year. That first freeze that we have from that point afterwards here in Oklahoma. But I'm gonna be honest, I'm not that good at it.
Well, we're gonna fix that.
I'm not that good at it.
When the time comes, we're gonna fix that.
All right. I admire Jim Morton. Do you remember Jim Morton?
The guy who made the salt.
No. Jim Morton is a dude that won a BASS event on Grand Lake in December on a buzzbait.
Oh, yeah, 45-degree water temperature.
Yep.
Good man. Yep.
So,
way to buck tradition.
Hey.
But that's a huge case in point right there about, you know, bass don't follow rules all the time. That's a really good case in point about listening to what the fish are telling you. That guy probably was catching them shallow enough to try that. That's how that happened. It wasn't by accident, I promise you. He was probably catching them in 2 to 3, 4 feet of water and said, would they eat a topwater now? And probably pitched one out there and got a blow up and went, holy crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how that probably went down. But he was paying attention to what he was doing and where the fish were located. So I think that's fantastic. Actually, that's super cool.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of things real quick, rapid fire, and then we'll close it out. Doug wants to know, do you use a speed clip on jerk baits?
Yeah, I do. I actually do use a speed clip on jerk baits. I use a speed clip on all my crankbaits, and I consider a jerk bait a crankbait. The reality of it is I get a little bit more movement out of the jerk bait, and especially if I'm fishing super cold, I have a deep freeze video out on LureNet. It's an older one. It's called Fish in the Deep Freeze, I think. It's a jerkbait video. And and the speed clip was paramount for that because when I would shake the rod tip, because I have a winter technique for fishing these things, and it's on that video, but when I would shake the rod tip, that bait would just sit there and quiver a lot because it had no restrictions between the split ring and the speed clip. It had zero restrictions. So it really did a little dance in the water, and that was the whole key to the bites. Because I would pull the bait down, shake that rod tip, and then doink, and they would just boom, and I'd get them. So, yeah, 100%.
All right, Clay wants to know, Frank, is there a night bite on a new moon?
You know, I think there's a night bite all the time, to be honest with you. Yeah. You know, new moon, full moon doesn't matter to me. No moon, it doesn't matter. It's fish are patternable. You just got to figure it out. The bite might be a little bit different, but there's always a night bite, especially in the summertime. Always a night bite.
All right. Cool stuff, man. Frank, another great show. Really appreciate your insight. And I'm serious, man. I'm fired up about this, you know, early winter, fall stuff. Because everybody says, look, dude, we are close. You said September 9th. Everybody across the nation will agree with me. If there's anybody that disagrees, you let me know on this one. September, dude, September might be the toughest month across the country to catch fish. Agree or disagree?
You're in the north, though.
I'm talking about in the vast majority of the country.
Yeah, no, up here, dude, they don't ever stop eating. I mean, I hate to say that, but the fish up north, if every time they had a cold front, they quit eating, they would starve to death. I mean, here, it's been thunderstorming here for 3 days, nonstop. Yeah. Brutal. We had 80 mile an hour winds yesterday, at least in some of the areas. Yeah. Heck, a tree branch fell on the roof of my truck when I was driving to the store last night.
Jeez.
It didn't do too much damage. It just it being the top of it, the roof. So nobody's going to see it anyway. So I could care less. But but you know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, the fish don't care here. They don't care.
Yeah. Now, September sucks, dude.
I've seen
it's
them finicky
not
in
good.
Florida. Like Florida freaks me out. Yeah. You get a cold front in Florida, they don't eat because they don't have to, because the next day is going to be 70 degrees and they can go put the feed bag back on.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I, hey, if anybody else out there doesn't like September, you know, shoot me an email. Let me know your thoughts.
I'm going to walk you guys through September, no matter where you live.
It's not good. It's not good, except I'm not moving to Cleveland, dude.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
You don't have to. Huh. I'm going to help you out. I promise. I'm going to help you out.
All right.
Remember, guys, photos, contest, Super Spook Boyo.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. I can't wait to see your guys' pictures.
All right. Very cool. Great stuff as usual. Hey, if you guys have an idea for a show with Frank.
Yeah.
Shoot me an email.
Yeah, dude. Always.
MarketBassZone.com. We're always about doing what the fans want. So
that's right. We'll service the fan.
Hey, man. Got a big bowling tournament this weekend. Not a PBA event, but a senior event.
So what do I got to say? Mm-hmm. Knock them down.
Knock them down.
Knock them down.
All right, Frank. Great stuff, man. We will talk to you next week. And send those photos in. Can't wait to see some of that creativeness by the BTL fans. Don't forget, my favorite color is 7. That's it, folks. We're out of here.